On page Kuf Samch Zayin, Vayam Dakacha, the Maimer that we're learning is the Maimer on Taivas. So that word, we always felt when we read it, we heard it growing up, that it's not a nice word, Taivas. But what we're learning, of course, is that the Sharish of it is very, very beautiful and very holy. And like everything else in our lives, we have to learn how to use our Taivas, to understand where they come from and how to use them properly. So Kuf Samach Zayin, Perak Aleph, Ha'or Eloki, Hu Atanik Shebechol Dover, Utchila Tzarech Lohavin Nachon, as the Inyan HaTaivas. First we have to understand properly, what's the Inyan of Taivas, of desire, of human desire, Inyan HaTaivas. Where's Tachlisan? What's the Tachlis that Hashem Shebech made us this way? Kibbez Ayakal Alav Lama Kenegdan. When a person understands what a taiva is, what its tachlis is, then it'll be easier to withstand the unholy expression of taiva. The koach of the seichel chazak ma'od. The koach of the seichel is very, very strong. V'yochalamad k'neged kol hanisyanis. A person has with his mind the ability to overcome all nisyanos. U'memela, kama shadav yosef bor la'adam, b'sichlo. The clearer something is in the person's mind, kach yesh lo yosef karach lezgaber. So the more strength he'll have, the greater his ability to be mezgaber, to overcome that nisay. The example in Reishayin Beis, the example is that if a person recognizes that there's a danger, then even though he might be very, very tired, we mentioned this last week, this is what we ended with, even though the person might be very tired at that time and he really can't do anything, but if there's some danger, if he recognizes that there's a danger, and he understands that there's something dangerous here, then of course he suddenly has a tremendous amount of strength, and he's not tired at all. So he all along he had the koach to overcome that feeling of being tired, but he didn't understand until that moment, he didn't understand how dangerous the situation is. So you'll have that person, Lalena was smoking, and he's become habituated. He smokes. And that was something that was very common back in the earlier years, in the 40s, the 50s, until it became very clear how dangerous it was. So there were some people that when their seichel was enlightened with that information, okay, I've mentioned in the past that I saw once in a sefer that the Bava Rebbe was going to, like many people, the Bava Rebbe used to smoke. And that's when they came out with the information that smoking was dangerous, they told him, so they said, oh, I didn't know that, and he stopped smoking. That was the end of it. There were no programs, there was no rehab, he didn't have to start things on his fingers, the nicotine, the whatever they had. There were all kinds of hamsot back then that a person should be able to overcome that habit. When a big Baal Seichel understands, and it's clear, that's sofar sipur, that's the end of the story. That's the koach of his garbus, with the Seichel, when you understand that this is something which is not good. A person that doesn't understand how something is unhealthy or something is dangerous, he doesn't want to think about it, he doesn't use his seichel, so he'll continue on with that dangerous behavior to the point that he feels that that taiva has taken over his life. He has no control. He can't control the taiva. But the seichel has the ability to control a taiva. The seichel can't control the circumstances of life. Things happen in our lives. There's all kinds of things happen. But in terms of an internal taiva, that a person has a taiva, the seichel can overcome that taiva. The seichel has the ability to overcome a taiva. So the more a person understands what a taiva is, and how a negative taiva is dangerous, and that he understands the tachlis of what a taiva is, his seichel is clearer to his seichel, he has the more he has the ability to overcome that. So first we need to understand, what is a taiva? Because in this, there's something very, very deep. Davar amok. Da. Shebechol davar bebriya. No, that in everything in creation, yesh nitzaitz shehu or eloki. Everything exists because it contains within it the light of Hashem. That life, that vitality, that or of elokus. That's what gives it life. Vata mechaya is cool. Vata mechaya is cool. It means everything that exists is because it contains within it that or of vata mechaya is cool. That Hashem infuses into all that exists, every second of its existence. And it's because of that elokus, it's because of that aura of elokus that can exist, whether it's a rock, it's a plant, or a person. That's its existence. And that's how it exists. Obli hanitzaitzahu, and without that presence of Elokus, hayihad davar misbatel miyad. That couldn't exist. Next page. So when a person feels drawn to a taiva, whatever that taiva is, when he feels pulled by a taiva, by a desire, he's being drawn not by a physical object. He's not being drawn by a piece of food or some other type of that thing. He's not being drawn by that thing. He's not attracted. It seems to him that he's attracted to that food, or he's attracted to that inappropriate that person he shouldn't be attracted to. It seems to him that that's the attraction. And that's where the meshicha comes from. That's where the pulling comes from. But the emes is, the Svarim teach us, it's a very, very deep, deep, big sugya in Pnimius, that ha-meshicha is ein l'davahu. That the meshicha is ein l'davahu. Ki ha-ra ein bo klum. Because ra, evil, ein bo klum. There's nothing. Ra ein bo klum. It's not the ra that the person finds attractive. Ra is ein bo klum. Lo yitachen shi habo tov. There's no good that's in ra. Lo yitachen shi habo tov. Ki rak Hashem is baruch hu hatov. The tov that's contained within that thing is elokus. That's all. Vo mechaya hakol. And there's no true Metzias other than him. Allah Meshicha Shemargishim, that Meshicha, that attraction, that pull, that taiva, that a person feels, Ach ve'rak l'nitzayitza eloki shemachayis adavah. In truth, is for that nitzutz, that spark of elokus, that is the life of that particular thing or person. The rakhu hatov sheyeshbo. That's the tov that's there, that's present. That's the tov. Rak mimenu hahana shebedavar. And because of that tov, because of that elokus that's there, that is the source of any possible hanah, any possible pleasure or excitement that is contained within that thing, that person, whatever it is. Elosh anitzaitzah zaharuchni, however, this spark of elokus, of godliness, of spirituality, that's contained within that, whatever that is extraordinarily attractive, who otuf beklipa, in this particular item or person, is wrapped in a klipa. It's wrapped in a peeled, a shell. It's wrapped in a container, a klipa, klaimo mechuse b'davar hagashmi. It's covered. The spark of Elokus is concealed within this davar hagashmi, this physical item or person. V'lorom oso. And therefore we cannot see the Elokus. We don't see the godliness. It's not clear to us that that's the tov. That's what's exciting. That's what's attractive. That's what gives this thing, this person, this place, its charm, its chen, its or that's pulling you. It's from the Elokus, which we don't see. V'zegoreim shekasha odom roa dover moshech, and that's the cause, that's what causes this, that when a person sees something that's pulling at him, it seems to him that it's the actual thing or the person, whatever, that's giving him pleasure, that and will give him pleasure. It's the physical food that will give him that pleasure. To be mezgaber in Nisayan is to overcome that this mistake, this case of mistaken identity, the way that a person wrongly identifies the source of the attractiveness of the chain, of the potential hana, this is the nisayon. The mistake that the person makes is the source of failing, of giving in and falling into that piece of gashmius of the physical world. Any pleasure that a person can have is only from the elokus that's in that. Shenimtza v'darva, that's there. And really, all the neshama wants is that. The neshama just wants that connection to elokus and all that exists. The chitzonius, the external shell, the appearances of that causes us to make a mistake. And it seems to the person that the pleasure, the tanug, is from the klipa, is from the external shell, from that container. That's the root and the source of the pleasure and potential hana that the person has, or just by looking at this, and then imagining how much more so if I indulge in this pleasure. L'mashal, it's coming, soon's going to be the Yad Kislev. So there's a ma'aseh from the Alter Rebbe Slusi Elena that's brought down in this svarim, that the Balatanya was traveling with a wagon driver the entire night, and it came to the time of Alois HaShachar. It came to the time that the sun was just going to rise, and the Alter Rebbe turned to the Balagola, to the driver, and he asked the driver, "Would you care for some schnapps? Would you care for some mashke? Something to drink?" And the Balagola, the driver, was nispoil. And he asked Rabbi, you know, how did you know that that's mamish what I was chalishing for? I was chalishing for, at this second, I was chalishing for a little bit of mashke. I wanted desperately to have something, some schnapps. How do you know that? So the Rabbi told him that every morning at the time of Alos HaShachar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mashpia, a shefa into the world at that place, at that time, where it's Alos HaShachar. Hashem is mashpia. He sends into the world a shefa of his iris for the new day. A tremendous shefa of his iris, of excitement, of awakening to the new day. Hashem sends into the world. And every single person experiences that shuka, that longing, and that tanug. Each person experiences that and feels that awakening according to who that person is. So at that second, I felt an unbearable longing for Elokus. I felt an unbearable longing for God. And I knew that you must be feeling an unbearable longing for some vodka. I knew that must be what you were feeling at that second, because the Hesoir was that's when the heavens opened up. And the second that the heavens opened up, that person's longing is mislabish, and whatever that person is, that tanug of Elokus. In other words, the Alter Rebbe felt that nitzoytz of Elokus in its true uncovered form. That's how he felt it. He experienced it in its reality, what it is. It's Elokus. And the driver experienced it in that klipa, in that lavush, of who he was, of who he is, that he's this kind of a person. That's his tanug in life, is to have a drink. And so he experienced that chavaya, of that shefa of tanug, of his service, and the longing to have a little bit of mashk. Chazon Ish, who's the only one, said, I'm trying to remember the exact lashon that I read was this. Chazon Ish said that if a goy would feel the tanug, the pleasure of getting up before sunrise on Shabbos morning and learning a blad gemara, he would be misgar, he would immediately convert. If a goy were to experience that pleasure of what it means to by Alois HaShachar to learn a blad on Shabbos morning, it wouldn't be bad for us either. But he said that the pleasure would be so intense that he would leave all of his taivas and he'd be mezgar, he would convert. If he'd be able to feel that nitzoytz of Elokus, of what it means on a Shabbos morning when the whole world is sleeping, to be able to he said, to learn a blad gemara. He said, he would leave everything. He would go meshuggah for such a tonic. It's the whole world is seeking pleasure. And in the old movies, when a shikha would walk into the bar, the bartender would ask him, "What's your pleasure?" That's how it used to be. I remember in the old movies, "What's your pleasure? What's your pleasure?" That's what it is. It's, "What's your pleasure?" That's what the ma'aseh from the Alter Rebbe said. "What's your pleasure? Is the pleasure from the moitzei pi Hashem, from the nitzoytz of Elokus, that's contained in this mitzias, or is your pleasure from the klipa, from whatever it is that your mind has convinced you, looking at this drink or looking at that girl, whatever it might be, that's the sherish of one's pleasure." And the emes is that there are times during the day, every person is different. It's not just by Alois HaShachar, this story from the Alter Rebbe, but there are times during the day with each person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a cheshbon, and there are times during a regular day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashpia, an aura of tanug into this person's life, a certain light of tanug, of his auras, into that person's life. And every person is toyface, every person takes that aura of tanug according to his madrega. According to his madrega, for this person, it's a gishmak in a capital tilim or something that he's learning, or in a thought of Elokus. And for another person, it's mislavish. It's that he takes that nitzayt or that or aftanik for something else. The tzaddikim would say on this the pasuk by in Mitzrayim, it says when it was by the makah of chaysha, by the plague of darkness, it says l'chol bnei Yisrael ya'arba mashvayisav. That while the Egyptians were sitting in darkness, the Chol Bnei Yisrael, all the Jews, they had light in their dwelling places. So the tzaddikim, I don't remember where it's, but the tzaddikim say that the Chol Bnei Yisrael over my shvayisam is that every single person feels during the course of a day a certain aura. and for the mitzvah, for the Egyptian, that would be coming clothed in darkness. Whatever that darkness, it could be a drink of mashke, it could be something else, whatever it is. L'chol bnei Yisrael, ya'or b'mashvayis, and the or is, what is that? L'hoishiv is ha'or. L'chol bnei Yisrael, ya'or b'mashvayis, means that the greatness of a person is, where is he moshiv that or of Elokus? Where does he place? To where does he direct that or, that talmud? L'chol bnei Yisrael, ya'or b'mashvayis. A Jew is a lichtiger person. He takes that or of talmud, and he's moshiv it, he places it into a tanug of Elokus, into something which is holy, into a pleasure that is holy, into a pleasure that gives his life meaning and brings him closer to Elokus. And for the mitzvah, it goes. The mitzvah places it into darkness. He places that tanug, that or of Elokus, into darkness. So when a person feels a taiva, what we're learning is that when a person feels a taiva, it's a hisiris of that or from the mice of the Alter Rebbe. It's a hisiris of that or of Tanug of Elokus that the person is experiencing at that moment in his life. It could be mislavish, he's enclosed in whatever. That's Dashkoch HaProtis, that he should contend with that at that moment in his life. If he feels, then he gets deeper into the darkness of Egypt, of Mitzrayim. If he succeeds, so then l'chol bnei Yisrael he'ov b'meish v'yisam, which brought down from the Kadmonim, which the Baal Shem HaKadosh used to say over Meisah from, it was one of the great Rabbi Yitzchok from Akko, was an early Mekubal. So there's a famous thing that's brought down. It could be Reb Sadiq already brought it. I don't remember the timing. No, it's not Reb Sadiq, but it was Baal Shem HaKadosh used to say this, that there was this great Sadiq, that he was someplace, and without intending, there was a very beautiful woman who was not dressed properly. And for a second, he didn't mean to, but for a second he saw that. And he says he turned away, and he's misoira to the great longing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And people, you know, hear that story, they don't understand what that means. They would make fun of you. See, that's why I also look at things. I have a big concern. But that's what the story means. It means that he turned away from the klipa, and he focused on the aura of Elokus, not the klipa, and he had a tremendous service for Dvekas Basha. It's a Madrega, but talking about, of course, not that level. We have to stay away from everything, whatever. It's not, but to understand what it is, it changes a person's feelings towards what this taiva is and what he can do about this taiva. Tov, what does he want?
I understand the idea that there's only Hashem.
That's not an idea. That's the reality.
I'm starting to understand the reality that yeah. Rabbi's talking about yeah. this concept of it's only Hashem and it's a misplaced yearning for Hashem. But the klipas do come in different flavors. Is there anything said about that?
Well, let's continue. Let's learn. But everybody has his own pleasure. That's just, what's your pleasure?
But it doesn't make sense to me that it's only a yearning for Hashem. I know that's the only emes in the world, and that's the only yearning. But there seems to be a yearning, mamish, for different flavors of klipas. So it's not only a yearning for Hashem. I guess the answer is it's a misplaced yearning, but there seems to be yearning for chocolate, for visuals, for this. There's different yearnings. So it's not only a yearning for Hashem. There seems to be a separate yearning for klipas.
Yeah. What do you? I'm not sure what you.
It's two different things.
Because you're saying because there are, you know, you're saying there because of the numbers. That, so are you asking about how this? I'm not sure what you're asking. So there's a lot of candy as opposed to two pieces of candy?
No, not quantity. It's only Hashem in this world, and that's our true yearning. But there seems to be another yearning.
Yes, the word, the key word that you used, is seems. Seems, that's right. Okay. But why does it make it into a greater question? Because there's so many different flavors. Why does that Make it. In other words, if a person goes into the ice cream store, they used to advertise Baskin Robbins has, I don't remember.
31 it used to be.
How many?
31. It used to be 31. I don't know what they did.
Okay. When it came out, I remember when they opened those stores like a long time ago when it came out and everybody was in the sprawl. How could there be so many famous ice cream? We all went to see. They had one on Main Street in Queens and stuff. And everybody went to see how. Well, we only had chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry. We heard that the guy had something called mint, you know. We never saw that in a Jewish store. So how many could be? How could it be there? 30 flavors of Christ. So the Teretz is that the person has a taiva sachila. Then you come to the store, and the guy with the scooper asks you, "What's your pleasure?" And you look around and you say, "Wow, brothers, all kinds of cholent flavored ice cream and kugel flavored ice cream, whatever they had over there. All different flavors of ice cream." And he's just saying, "What's your pleasure?" So, no. And then another person goes into an electronics store, right? So you're in the business of electronics. You use for visual things and so on. And you go to, is it still open, B&H? Is that still open?
Yeah, still open.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay. Baruch Hashem. They give a lot of stock to those people. So you go into B&H, and a guy like you walks into B&H, and they came out with like 1,000 new things, right? New things that could improve your parnasa and your work and the quality of your work, which is gewaldig to begin with, but it can improve it. And when you see that, that sweet little Jew behind the counter asks David, "No, what's your pleasure?" So what? Yeah, and then the other person goes, "For you, that's for me. I walk in there, that's what you do." I said, "Yeah, I don't know. You have a camera?"
I
don't
know. And I should tell him Elokus.
And if it's a chassidish guy, he probably learned that. He might, and you could discuss it with him. Right? That would be nice to have that conversation. And he would be totally familiar with it. Because it's a central point in all the Svarma Kedoshim. It's all. That's what it is. It doesn't make a difference. It's not about how much. It does make, whether it's the Niagara Falls, or it's a little boy playing with his toy tractor. Or it's Niagara Falls. The Metzius is Elokus. It's the touch of Elokus. That's the draw, that's the pull, that's the excitement. Whatever else is, it's exactly what you said. So it seems. And the question is always, so where are you going to place this longing, this excitement, this, where are you placing it? Where does it fit into your life? L'chol b'nei Yisrael, remember the pasuk. When you have a chalil, when a person has a taiva or something, you see that's not that he shouldn't. L'chol b'nei Yisrael here, arba mashvay. So you ask yourself, am I a mitzri or am I an ivri? Am I a Jew or am I a mitzri? L'chol b'nei Yisrael here, arba mashvay. L'chol b'nei Yisrael here, arba mashvay. But the shine of the external of the something, the. Listen, you never heard of a guy, you don't know anybody in your life, David. Do you know anybody in your life that fell for a girl and it was the wrong girl for him? You ever hear such a thing? No, everybody heard of such a thing. The guy fell for the wrong girl. What happened to this? And he messed up his whole life. I'm not talking about like, you know, he went out once or twice, he did an aveir or something. You got people that got married to the wrong girl. Not a little bit off. Not a little bit off. We're all the way off. What happened? A taiva. It's a taiva.
But the taiva is for Elokus, not for her.
Correct. But he doesn't know that. So instead he was drawn to something, to some external shine, attractiveness that he saw in this person, ad kedei kach, that he ruined his life. And it's the same thing with the drink and with the cigarette and with the joint and with that website, whatever else it is. It's not a matter of numbers. It's not a matter of not just. It's not a matter of the quality of this thing. But this is a human being. It's not like being attracted to a piece of food. And as we're going to see, that's why I said we have to continue a little bit more. That's why there's that empty feeling when a person indulges in when he gets lost in the klipa, and he doesn't connect at all to the lakus, he's left with a feeling of absolute emptiness, because it is empty. It's a klipa, it's just empty. So a moment ago, he was convinced that this was going to be his greatest pleasure in life. this was it. This is all he's been longing for his entire life, and now he's going to have it. And then a few minutes later, the guy feels like he wants to kill himself. How did it happen, such a thing?
It's like buying a new car. You love that smell. You love the sound of the door. 4 months later.
Four months?
3 months.
Oh, you mean the smell is gone?
Everything.
It's not about the change in... But Blazer, it's not about the change in that... It's not about that wrong girl getting old and ugly. And it's not about the car losing its smell. It's about being at that moment of the smell and not getting lost in it. And that's a harmless, obviously. That's harmless, like enjoying the smell of your car. But it's the same yourself.
Yeah, it's the same.
It's getting lost in that. What is it? So the kid gets his...
The problem is, with this, everything that I think we all understand, everybody here, is this is a very, very big thing that the whole growth of a person is based on.
Sure.
And it's part of, as they say to, you know, some of the teachers, I'd have to be a retread. A retread in order to overcome.
Retread?
To retread, like a tire you have to make new to retread yourself. Because the stimuli of what we and where we live is very overbearing.
It's unbelievably intense.
And that's why many young people, I think, when they do experience like something in Israel and learning, and they're away from that stimuli, and then there's a cataclysmic clash when they have to come back to it. And they
100%.
See, not that they come back to it, but that they have to be suddenly immersed again in it.
100%.
It's,
the human eye has never been exposed to not just the amount but the intensity of stimuli. What did our great grandparents, what did they see in their lives? What was the stimulus? What did they see?
Well, if they saw what they saw today, they'd be in overload.
Which we are all in that overload. But it's so beyond any word. The word overload is such an understatement, and that's, you know, it used to be that the little kid gets his Hanukkah present, and he rips open the paper, and he sees the present, and he's all excited because it's all that he ever wanted in his life, and he plays with it for 2 or 3 minutes, and in the meantime he's jealous of his sister's toy and his man goes. Again, it's nothing. Except we have that a billion times more, and it's a speed and intensity that any person who would travel in time from 100 years ago, less, and would just come into our lives, would look at us and think that and not know how we don't lose our minds and how we're not totally, completely mad, insane with this stimuli that we're exposed to on a regular day. That the stuff that we're exposed to on a regular day. Wouldn't know how a human being can live in such a way. And it doesn't even have to be, forget about it, before the phones. My father, Zechon Levach, told me that when the first time that him and his brother, when they came to America, he said that he went with my uncle. My uncle had an interview for some kind of job, and they didn't know their way around anywhere, and they were just here for a short time. My uncle was in the jewelry business, and they had some kind of a lead to go to the city. And my father said it was the first time in Times Square. So we're talking about in 1948. Times Square. So my father said that. He didn't know there's life to such a thing, what was going on over there. Now, I remember Times Square like in the 60s, you know, just with the lights, the shows, the movies, the things, whatever, and the advertisements. And my father said that this, he thought that it's crazy. How could people live in this? You know, so he said that people told him nobody lives over here. You know, it's just like a shopping district or something. But he said that he never saw it. And he had been in Prague. He was in a few big cities in his life during the time after the war. It wasn't the first time he was ever in a city. He didn't, but he never saw such a thing. He said it's overwhelming. But that's a joke. Every 11-year-old who has a phone now sees more than that in 10 minutes. like while he's eating his Wheaties, he sees more than Times Square squared 100 times. Just when he's like sitting around, doing nothing, and he's just flipping around. Nobody ever saw such things, and to be able to process that, and then to be able to contend with those items on the list that he sees, that he's exposed to every day, and not just sees but hears and smells, and to be able to not fall into the klipa, into that covering. It's much more than 31 whatever flavors, and the intensity of the taste. That's all that the klipa is doing these days, is to try to intensify that experience, to make it stronger and stronger and stronger, and to sap the person of any thought that it's possible to overcome this, to sap him of that confidence that he's able to overcome this. When 100 years ago, it could be that there was, you know, in that village there was one Indian of a type, or there was the bar, the Kretschmer, there was the one person that everybody had a taiva for, whatever. But it's unimaginable. And when we talk about how the tzaddikim saw our generations being exceedingly great, and in many ways the greatest of all generations, and we look at ourselves and we say we're the great, we're the worst and the lowest. In the context of what we're exposed to. And afal pichein, right now, we're sitting and learning a little bit Torah. It's a madrega, it's something extraordinary. That our eyes will still want to look at the Blat Gemara and in a Sefer. When there are so many things that are pulling at the eyes that never used to, is an extraordinary accomplishment. It's a very great accomplishment. But the type of that, that's why what all the teachers and rabbis are struggling with now is that they have to make the Gemara exciting. That was never on the mind of a Rebbe years ago. The Rebbe had the intention of trying to understand the Gemara and giving it over to the boys. Not that he has to walk into the shir, you know, with a film, and then he has to like act out, you know, he has to act out the Mishnah. And he has to walk back and forth and have like a Valdige presentation. It's got to be, you know, something that's going to grab them. But if you don't do that now, if you don't give the kid some kind of an experience, you're going to lose him. Because he's got so many things that are pulling him, the klipas that are pulling him, that if you don't intensify the experience, the external experience of the Mishnah, the external experience, not the Havana, not the experience. He has got to experience the Mishnah. So we're going to have a walking tour in the Galil, following the footsteps of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. You know, so like, and then you take the kid and you show him that this is what the Mishnah is talking about, and you show him, you know, the wine press, the olive press, and you say, this is the Mishnah that in Shabbos, you see, there's the Mishnah, and this is the way we're going to get the kid. Can you imagine like that, like someplace in Poland in 1842? You tell him, this is a wine press, Shkoyach. It's like, no, we got to show it to him, he's got to feel it, and he's got to get excited about it. Because and there's truth to that, because everything else is exciting, everything he sees, all the klipas are he's bombarded with klipas every second of his life. He's bombarded with klipas, and then you want him to learn. Now there's nothing that has more elokus in it than the learning, but he doesn't. But he doesn't see that. Once he gets into it and he gets into the learning, But he's surrounded by the klipas. That's what we're living with, and that's what the nisayon is.
So, Rabbi, I think what David was asking was, if it's all elokus inside everything, then why Do you like different things? Why I like chocolate.
Each person. That's a very deep opinion. What is it? Why is it that this? You'll have the same. You'll have one person that yells Meshuga for this girl. The other person says, "Not interested." This person likes this. This person likes chocolate. The other person, what do you find in chocolate? That has to do with the nefesh, ruach, neshama. It's a very deep thing. Like, why does that person? Like, what is it? Why is that something that you're drawn to? That has to do with that particular individual and his spiritual composition, who he is. It's a very deep thing. What is it that this person, why does this person find that attractive and the other person doesn't? What is it that's pulling at this person? It has to do with the shirish of his neshama. It's a very deep thing.
To realize that every klipa has, every taiva has in it, elokos, that, and that's what we're attracted to on a level of a neshama, that we have, you know, like, it's really mamish a pathway to work on your taivas. If you know that there's elokos, so that you could stand back and you can apply some chachma to it and say, okay, I'm attracted to this because this Indian has elokos in it for me. I'm connected to it.
Of course. Once you know that's what it is. Once you understand what this is, once you understand where it's coming from, so then you're able to go past the external klipa, and you're able to connect to the essence of what it is. It's not vaida. Okay, that's where we are right now. Let's continue. Lachain, Misha Chala, the second side of the page, Beis. Ulachain Misha Chalila Mispata, a person who Chas V'Sholom is seduced by that klipa, by the external. Lokechas a klipa, and he grabs the klipa. Va'over,
at least
get the feedback. Okay, good. Va'over is aveira, and he gives into the taiva, and he's over the aveira, and he does the aveira. He misuses this. Because he wants to get to the tanuk that he imagines, the tanuk that he sees on the outside. And in order to get that imagined tanuk, he does the aveir. Azai besofo shel dover, tamid, you could have another billion tamids. Tamid, always, hu yotzei mi'uchzav, he is disappointed. The reality never matches up with one's sweet imagination. That's the borrowing from an old song, some words. Never, ever, ever comes to this sweet imagination. The metzias, the reality, tamid, yoytzei me'uchzav. It's always disappointed. And this disappointment is the source of much of the depression and the madness of the human race. Yotzei Mu'uchzav. It never ever matches. Never ever. It's always disappointing compared to what the pleasure that the person imagined. Ki avsha berega harishon. Even though at that first moment that he indulges, at that instant, kishu nogeh benitzotz, when he comes into contact with that nitzotz, with that spark of elokus, yesh lo tanuk. There is an intense pleasure. Yesh lo tanuk. So the gambler feels that. The drinker feels that. The guy with the chalila, with the pornography, there's that second when he comes into contact with Moitzi Pi Hashem, with Elokus, there's that tanuk. Mikol makom miyad achar kach, but then right afterwards, hanitzoitz noifel v'nelam. That spark of Elokus falls into the klipas and it disappears. I mean, you can't, the person, it's still there. The Elokus is still there, but you've lost contact. There's only that moment, that second of contact, when there's that pleasure. But then you lose contact, like the radio. You lose contact with that nitzotz of Elokus, and then there's a terrible feeling of emptiness. Because it's nothing. The thing itself is nothing. It's just nothing. Reish Ayin Gimel. Look at the note. V'lo rak shelo nehne. V'lo rak shelo nehne. Not only that the pleasure is gone. Ela gam yesh lo tchushas mevirus gedola. There's a feeling of bitterness. like the Ma'aseh Novi, when was the Ma'aseh
Amnon.
With Amnon and he was Meshuggah for Michal for Tamar. I'm sorry, with Avshalom with Amnon and Tamar, that he was crazy. He was so Meshuggah for her, and it says that the moment and he took her, he raped her. And then it says that the sinner that he felt for her, that Amnon felt for Tamar, that hatred, that the loathing that he felt for the second he did the, after he did the aver, was greater than the ahava, than the love, than the attraction that he had felt for her. And the attraction was unbelievably intense. Akedei kach, that he went and he did such a ma'aseh to her. And then gedoyla hasinah, says Navi, that Amnon had a hatred that was more intense than the love that he felt. He felt a loathing. The loathing, of course, was for himself. And how could he have done such a thing? Depending upon the madrega of the person, there's that feeling of emptiness and loathing. And then what happens, of course, is that and that's where addiction comes from, is that to try more. This will help. This will help me get up. This will give me that pleasure. This will, and then he gets himself buried deeper and deeper and deeper into the klipas. He can't get himself out. Can the neshama misachzevas ma'od? The bitterness comes from the neshama's disappointment. The neshama was about to have an experience of elokus. Could have had a tremendous experience of elokus, of reaching of overcoming the external and turning to Hashem. And using that nitzaitz for kedusha, and that would have brought the person closer to Hashem. And the neshama is disappointed. The neshama says, "I can't believe you went for the drink, and not for the lukus. I can't believe you went for the girl, and you didn't go for the lukus." And the neshama feels a terrible, terrible disappointment, a terrible emptiness. He tips sheinatseach. The neshama was hoping that this individual was going to be, that the neshama was hoping that she would be able to convince this person to turn away from the klipa and to enter into the elokus, to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that moment, and to put in a good kapitel tilim or a good piece of learning Torah, and whatever it is, or a thought of something healthy, positive, that's godly. And the neshama lost to the guf, and the guf falls deeper and deeper into this klipa. So the neshama feels terribly disappointed. And because of that, the individual, depending upon how neshamadik this person is, he feels terribly disappointed. And it was the greater the person, the more the sense of emptiness. A lower person doesn't feel, a very low person who has nothing to do with it, doesn't feel empty. Just goes on. But a person's a more chash of a person than the neshama feels unbelievably broken and disappointed by that failure to bring the guf along to a good place. And the neshama, that disappointment of the neshama is experienced in the person as a terrible, terrible emptiness, a terrible feeling of emptiness and disappointment in himself. Or if he thinks about it, if he interprets it correctly, but a feeling of emptiness, tamid, always, always. It's not, it doesn't give the person what he expected. It's always, always going to be a disappointment. Never, ever. Is it in all of history, with billions and trillions of people who have lived in this world, it's tamid, me'uchzav. It's never what the person had in his imagination of what it would be. Not once. So I go back to the famous saying of Einstein, the definition of insanity is what? Do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. But that's the story of life. Over and over and over again, and expecting different results. Okay, we have to go down, so we'll continue with each other.